Wow, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God. Good morning, church. We've got so many new faces here. I just want to welcome you all. So as Pastor Bin said, my name is Michael. I'm one of the church leaders here. And, you know, one of the things we do in Sun Life Wells, we have lots of babies. And we dedicate them to the Lord, and we grow the church. But you know, the other thing we do well in this church is we really get into the Word of God. So what we do from the pulpit is we go through books of the Bible, and as Pastor Bin said, we're going to bring an end to Galatians. And so far, we've been learning from Galatians how to find freedom in Jesus Christ. So this morning's sermon's titled Bearing Freedom. Hey, wasn't it great to see all these parents, you know, like they were all dedicating their kids? You know, we've been through three dedications ourselves, such a special thing. You know, make sure you find them after the service, give them a big pack on the back, you know, get them a warm coffee because they're in for a rough ride. You know, parenting's really worth it. It's really worth the price to pay, but you know, some of these guys are experienced already, but some were first-time parents. They had one child, and you know, you're gonna say goodbye to long, comfortable, deep sleeps. You know, you're gonna say goodbye to that. You know, you're gonna learn how to eat really, really fast. You know, that's something I learned, to eat really, really fast. You know, who here has kids? You know, just see a wave for your hands. Look at how little energy that came out of that hand lifting, you know. You know, let's see, who here has not had kids? Who here have not had, look at that, just straight up, full of zest, full of life, you know. I rest my case. You know, who knew that microwave warmed up coffee was a thing? Who knew that was, you know? And what about movies, you know? When's the last time we watch a full movie from beginning to the end? Let me reminisce for a minute. And I remember the good old days, 2008 BC. BC meaning before children. You know, at that point, I had no idea, you know. I had no idea. I was married, I was giving advice to parents in my work, but I had no idea. No idea. You know, one year I even thought, you know, there's so many great movies out this year, and they're all just Oscar nominations. I'm just going to watch all of them. And I did. Because I could. Like I say, once you have kids, no idea. Hey, speaking about movies, I'm going to give you a little pop quiz. I'm going to show you my favorite movie of all time. Yeah, has anyone got a favorite movie of all time? Okay, so I'm going to go to the next slide. Now, sorry, the picture's a little bit pixelated. Does anyone recognize this character? Ah, yes. Good job. Who said that? Well done, Phil. Has anyone watched that movie before, Shawshank? Who's that? You remember his name? Brooks, that's right. All these guys must be living in BC land, you know, before children land. So this movie came out in 1994, nominated for 7 Oscars, won none, but rated the best movie of all time on the websites, yeah? And the other character I want to draw your attention to is, you guys know who that is, right? Right. Yep, that's Ray. That's Brooks, and that's Ray. These are like such dear characters to me. You know, I really love this movie. You know why I like this movie? Oh, next slide, by the way. You know why I like this movie? It's about hope. Okay, if you haven't watched it, I'm not gonna spoil it for you. But it's probably one of the best movies. Well, it's the best movie in my opinion, my humble opinion. Before kids, I thought this was the best movie ever. You know, Shawshank's about hope, and it's about this guy who goes to jail. His name is Andy Dufresne, and he gets framed for a crime he didn't commit. And what really inspired me was that he had this hope in his heart that carried him through this difficult time in prison. And I said, I'm not going to tell you the ending, but it's just, there's so many themes in this movie, and one of the greatest themes was hope. So anyway, go and get it out on DVD or stream it or whatever you guys do these days, because we still use DVDs. But I want to draw your attention to these two characters I've got up here, okay? So they're not the main characters, okay? So Brooks and Ray, they've been in prison for almost their whole lives. So I think the movie is like 40 or 50 years, all right? 40, 50 years. So Brooks, one day, Brooks gets out of prison. So in the movie, he gets out of prison, and he gets out of prison, and he gets a job. Gets a little apartment, and he tries to live life. But he struggles. He struggles really, really hard. And the reason he struggles is because he's been in prison too long. He couldn't handle the freedom. And in the new free life that he had, out of prison, he struggled so much, he felt so out of place, that in the movie, he took his own life. It was a sad point in the movie. Do you guys remember that? Has anyone here been to prison? Now, you don't have to put your hand up, okay? Because it could get awkward. But I've been to prison as a visitor. And I used to visit a church member's brother. Not from this church, but I used to visit this young man who got into prison. And I'm just not going to talk about that part, but I'm going to tell you about entering prison. As you enter prison, you take your keys out, your phone out, your wallet, and you put it in a locker, okay? That's a lot of your freedom gone. And then as you walk through the eye scanner, the dog sniffing, the checking, the pat down, and you go through all these bars and doors, you can literally feel your freedom being stripped away with every step you take, going through those high wire fence walls and all that kind of security, and you get in there and you're told where you're going to sit, how long you're going to sit there, what you can do, what you can't do. You can't touch a person, you can't shake hands, you can do this, you can't do that. When the bell rings, you stand up, you walk up, you stand in a line. So your freedom is stripped away. So I don't know if you can imagine that picture, going into prison. And if you ever have to visit someone, I hope you don't have to go through that process or go through prison, but it's, you literally feel your freedom stripped away. Now, imagine being a prisoner. That's just 10 times more than what I experienced for that 1 hour visit. Can you imagine that? And then can you imagine suddenly getting freedom? Suddenly having all those shackles and rules and regulations removed from you. Ray got out of prison later in the movie. And Ray struggled. He got a job, he got an apartment, but he struggled with that freedom. And in the movie, Ray says you get institutionalized. You become part of the system. But Ray was different to Brooks. Something happened to him in prison through Andy that when he got out of prison, he saw the freedom as a good thing. And he finds a happy ending. He became brave enough to look for a happy ending. Does anyone here know the true freedom we have in Jesus Christ? And how many Christians do you know? Sometimes we've been set free, but we don't really understand that freedom we've got now. And sometimes we get set free, but then we start putting our own little rules and regulations around our Christian life. Does this bring back the last few months of Galatians? You guys remembering some of the stuff we've learned from Galatians? Since we've got visitors, I'm going to catch us up to speed. Galatians is a letter written by Paul, and it's to the churches in Galatia. And it's actually a different letter because it's a stern letter. It's kind of like a bit of frustration and a bit of Paul telling them off about how The Galatian church had found freedom in Jesus, but now you got a bunch of people coming in, and these were the Judaizers, and they were just teaching new rules and regulations to the Galatian church. And the Galatians are starting to put on more restrictions and rules and giving up freedom. And so what happens is, we call this legalism. Legalism is when we take on rules and regulations. And specifically, for the Galatians, they were taking on the old Jewish laws. And so the opposite of legalism is grace. Grace comes from Jesus Christ. Grace is the love of God, the relationship with God, without any rules and regulations, without any conditions. But the Galatians were putting on all these rules and regulations, all this legalism. So a quick summary, chapters 1 and 2, Paul explains how the gospel of Jesus is superior to the old Jewish law. Then in 3 and 4, Paul explains how grace gives us freedom, freedom from legalism, and supports this with various examples through the Bible. And then in 5 and 6, Paul then shows us a better way to live. He says, now that you are free from legalism, you are free to love and serve. This is what you do with your freedom. This is how you live with your freedom. And Paul also explains how God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us achieve this and to sustain this freedom. Because freedom is actually a really powerful responsibility to have. Chapters 5 and 6 can be summarized by this next slide. A healthy Christian who is free from legalism, like a healthy tree, like a healthy tree, will bear much fruit or, you know, give much shade, provides clean air. And so a Christian who's free from legalism is similar to this tree. You bear four things. So the first one is bearing fruit, which is the effect of freedom on your character. And then specifically for chapter 6, we're going to look at these 3 points, which is bearing burdens, which is the effect of freedom on our church. Number 2, bearing seed, which is the effect of freedom on all people. And last one, bearing the marks, which are the effect of freedom on your identity. So we're going to focus on these 3 points at the end. Chapter 5 was covered very well last week, so you can always podcast that from our website. But let's just jump into chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. So, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, if you've got your Bible, just bring them out, yeah? Maybe we should pray as well. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you speak to us so real. And Lord, I just pray that you open up these verses to our hearts, Lord, and show us the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instructions in the word should share all good things with their instructor. So after chapter 5, the famous passage about the fruits of the Spirit, and we talk about bearing fruit because of freedom and the effect on your character, it is only natural then that Paul describes how we can bear outside burdens. So the fruits is something internal, and then now he's talking about something external. So chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, talks about the effect of freedom on the body of believers, which is the church. Here, Paul paints a picture of what a church should look like with the real freedom of the gospel. So the key verse is verse 2. When Paul urges the Galatians to bear each other's burdens so that they can fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's the new law, the new covenant that replaces the old law, the covenant of Moses. So this is the same Jewish law that we talked about just then, that these people were bringing into the faith that the church in Galatia already had. Does that make sense, guys? Sets the context. So in the old law, it was always more about what you can't do. You know, it's all the rules you need to follow. But in the new law, it's about what you can do. It's all the good things you can do. It's a different focus. Because in this new state of freedom, with the fruits of the Spirit being in your own life, now you start looking outside and look out for one another. But what were the Galatians doing? They weren't helping each other. They were criticizing each other. Is that right? They were pointing out faults. They were adding on extra rules to this old law. And they were just making life really difficult and making your Christian life really suffocate. Now, because the Galatian church was a multicultural church, the Jews themselves were making the non-Jews feel as second-rate Christians, inadequate Christians, incomplete Christians. Can you imagine that happening here in Sun Life? I mean, we're all different. And let me just say it out now. You don't have to support the Dockers. Okay? Sorry, Pastor. Because we're free. We're free to choose. No, it's not. But seriously, Paul was saying, stop adding the burden of legalism to your church. Add grace instead, all right? Grace means you bear each other's burdens. So if you look in verse 1, it says there, if you see a brother or sister in sin, you help restore them. Notice the difference, okay? In the old law, you probably would punish this sinner. You probably would punish this sinner. But now, in the law of Christ, in the new law, the emphasis is on restoring. Restoring the sinner. When you focus on rules, you always end up looking for who's done what's wrong. But when you focus on freedom, you always end up on looking for how to do the right thing. It's a very different way of living life. Does that make sense to anyone here? Verse 3 and 4, Paul tells the church to guard against pride. So yes, in this new law of Christ, we have lots of freedom. But with this freedom, it's also our duty to guard against pride. And now with God's Spirit in our hearts, it's easier to test our own actions in verse 4. Because now the Spirit of God is working in our hearts. So it's not very much a mental exercise to go around and pick faults, because it's easy to do that. It's very much a heart exercise where we're trying to tune into the Spirit of God and let Him tell us, let the Spirit of God show us what is right and what is wrong. So, you know, I guess I'm not trying to say that the old law or rules are invalid. You know, I'm not saying that the Ten Commandments is wrong. What I'm trying to say more is that we don't have to live in fear of which rule I need to do now and then and when and what number is that rule. But it's more about finding this freedom in Christ so that you can make decisions based on still the knowledge of the Bible. We still need that. We still need to know the Word of God. Okay, we still need to know that. But letting the Holy Spirit convict us in our heart and guide us from inside, it's less burdensome. So in the church setting, Paul challenges the Galatians to make it real. So how should we live with this new freedom? It's by looking out for each other, to help the person next to you make the right decisions, bearing each other's burdens. So practically, what does that mean for us here in Sun Life? What should we do? You know, just because you come to a nice building and a nice auditorium, nice decor, awesome worship, probably some good food after. Maybe you get some really good Sunday school service, coffee, good word of God being preached. Does that mean that our church has been transformed by the freedom of Christ? No. Then where do we really see it? Where do we see it in this church? I think it's in the way we love each other. And real love is not just saying nice things and doing nice things to each other, okay? I think real love is when we're free to be really honest, free to be really open about our success and our failures, our struggles. And I think we do that best in Sun Life, in our connects. Our connect groups is where we do life in this church. It's a place where we can be really open and honest, and we can really journey through life with each other. And it's a place I really want to see us Sun Lifers carry each other's burdens. I think when you can walk through life and you can share your success and failures with someone from your connect group, I think that's really where real Christianity happens. Knowing that someone's not going to condemn you or judge you, but someone's going to pray for you, someone's going to check on you, someone's going to ask you the tough questions and be honest and tell you as it is, I think that's where it really counts. We want our connect groups to be a place of conviction and not condemnation. Do you guys know the difference between both? See, condemnation is a judgment. It's a judgment and it's a giving of punishment. If you do something wrong, you're guilty of that. This is the punishment. That's very legalistic. We want our connect groups to be a place where there's conviction. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And conviction happens in here. Conviction is saying, yes, you've done something wrong, but here is the way out. Here's the price to be paid. And guess what? Jesus Christ has paid for that price. So you're free. You're free to put that behind you and start fresh again tomorrow. You guys experienced that before? If you haven't, then I really urge you, find a connect group. Get connected, okay? We want to get real. We want to be connected to each other. We want to WhatsApp each other. We want to ask for prayers. We want to ask for help. We want to give encouragement, share verses and all that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes on our connect WhatsApp, some pretty random funny stuff happens. And some really weird things get shared as well. But, you know, that's okay. That's okay. Because at the core of it, we love each other. And I think in general, that's our way of connecting to each other and bearing each other's burdens. It might not be the same for your connect. It doesn't have to be through WhatsApp. But the take-home message really is from these six verses to get connected, get real, and bear each other's burdens. All right? You guys happy with that? Can you think about that? If you're not connected yet, you know, find a connect group. And then the last verse, verse 6, you know, be nice. Be nice. Don't forget, verse 6, be nice to your connect leader, okay? Be nice to your connect leader, to your church staff, to your pastoral team, to your elders, you know, be nice to them, okay? All right. Verse 7 to 10. Paul now focuses on how freedom affects people around us, okay? And he's going to paint us a picture of the Galatians having seeds in their hands to sow or to plant. Yeah, that's what it means. So verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So, here, the key verse is verse 7, all right? And Paul says that a man reaps what he sows, which essentially means we get what we give. Yeah? Since we've been set free, Paul says it's like with these seeds we have in our hands now, wherever we sow, we will receive. So what are we actually planting? What are we sowing? It's going to be our time, our treasure, and our talents, right? We've got, now that we're free in Christ, we've got spare time, we've got lots of talents, abilities, and we've got treasures. We've got resources, we've got money, we've got a nice house perhaps, or what have you not. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? Paul says wherever you direct your time, treasure, and talents, this is where you'll get your return. So think back to this week. Where have you invested your time, your treasure, and your talents? Are you a gym junkie? Are you a workaholic? Do you stay back a lot and never claim overtime? Do you love being at work? Are you a helicopter parent maybe you just put all your time and energy efforts into your child. Or maybe you're a fanatical sports fan. You spend all your money buying the t-shirts and the caps and everything. Or maybe you're a Facebook addict. Every spare moment is exercising your thumb. Or maybe you're like a Pokemon grandmaster and you collected all those Pokemons. So these things are not bad things. I'm not begging it. This is life. These are good things. It can be good things. Be free. Be free to enjoy them. That's what Paul's saying. You know, be free. We are free in Christ. Okay? It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's good. But church, be careful. Be careful. Paul is warning us to be wise, isn't he? What is of the flesh and what is of the spirit? He talks there about being discerning. All right? Talks there about being discerning. What is of the flesh and what is of the spirit? Because sometimes the flesh can and will deceive us. Yeah? But the first verse says, God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. If you sow to please your flesh, this will bring your destruction. It can be small, simple, subtle things. Holding a little bit of unforgiveness. Maybe a little bit of harmless gossip. Maybe you're just holding a grudge. Maybe it's something a little bit deeper. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's cheating on your taxes. It's just small things adds to big things. It could be a little bit too much to drink. It could be so many subtle things. And, you know, chapter 5 lists all these things. So we're not going to go into that. Anything sinful, these wrong things will grow. And they can destroy you. So Paul's being honest. He's saying, be wise. Be careful. But if you sow to please the Spirit, then you will reap eternal life. So practically, how do we do that? How does a Christian that's set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ live? How do we sow to please the Spirit? I think it means that we need to hear the Spirit first, right? And that's not a hard thing. We make it out to be a really spiritual thing, but it's not. God readily gives us the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5 and 6 is about how the Holy Spirit changes our lives. And so we just need to read our Bible, pray every day, and we will grow. Yeah, you know that song. So read our Bible, pray, hang out with Christians, talk to your connect leader, go into fellowship, join a connect group, and then ask the Lord, where should I put my time, my treasure, and my talents? I promise you, God will speak to you. There's an old Chinese proverb. This is not from the Bible, okay? If you want to reap in a year, you plant rice. If you want to reap in 10 years, you plant trees. And if you want to reap in a lifetime, you plant people. You invest your time, your treasure, and talents into people. Here in Sun Life, we want to bring glory to God by making disciples through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, that's our church vision statement. This is what we're about. You know, a few years back, I was seeking the Lord, me and my wife, and He put in our hearts to come to this church, to commit, to give our time, our treasure and talents to this church, because we could see that God was doing a good thing, and God was doing a good thing in the lives of people, and that He's going to do something great. And he's already doing something great here in Sun Life, but I think we ain't seen nothing yet, guys. So, church, at the end of the day, we're not a social club. Yeah, we're still going to have lots of fun. It's still going to be a fun ride. But God has a greater plan for us. So do good, you know, do good, as it says there. And if God leads us to bear seeds into the work that He's doing, if God leads you to bear seeds into the work that He's doing in this church, then, you know, let's join hands. And let's do some good work for God here. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And you know, I'm not saying that this is the only place God is working. If God, you know, I just say, find a church, get connected, and go and bear seeds. All right? You guys get that? All right. I'm going to wrap it up. The last point from verses 11 to 18. So Paul is summarizing his letter to the Galatians, all right? He summarizes it. And he talks about bearing marks. So verse 17 is the key verse, where he elevates himself. Now remember, he had lots of lies being spread about him in the church of Galatians, right? And people were talking down Paul, and they were adding things to the gospel. They were taking down the gospel. So here, Paul summarizes the whole book of Galatians. And I think the key verse is in verse 17, where he elevates himself above the lies that have been spread about him and the gospel. To make this final point to the Galatians, he actually uses his own life as an example of the gospel of freedom that we have in Christ. And it's to do with our identity in Christ. Do you get that? Can you see that? Because you see, once upon a time, Paul's life was all about the old law. It's all about following the law, and he followed it so well, and he was a teacher of teachers in that law. And if there was, you know, Paul said himself, there was no one, if you want to count it, there's no one with any fault. You know, like, I had no fault in following these laws. And then what happened was, these old laws were the rules about, you know, how to get right with God. And he was the best person at doing it. Paul was so dedicated to following the law that he actually would go down and hunt all these Christians who were doing this grace thing to kill them. This is how zealous he was for the old law. But when Paul met Jesus, when Paul met the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is grace, he was set free from this old law. And so here he's actually using his own life as an example. And he says, therefore, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. What are these marks? Paul was beaten, whipped, he was stoned, and you know, it's very subtle in Acts. He was stoned, and I think he actually died and came back to life. It doesn't actually say that what exactly happened, but you know, most people don't survive a proper stoning. And there's so many things with Paul. You know, he had the eye thing, he had the thorn in his flesh, he had all these physical marks, literally. Why? Because he gave his life for the gospel. He changed 180, total U-turn for the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, that if we say sorry for all the wrong things we've done, we ask Jesus to come into our lives, we believe that he died on that cross and rose 3 days later to overcome sin and death, then we are now free from sin and death. If we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, he will live in our hearts, and we are free from sin and death. That's the good news. That's the good news. So, freedom. Remember my friends from the movie? We're set free from prison, the prison of sin and death. What are we going to do with that? So, church, and then in verse 12 and 15, he addresses circumcision one last time. That some Galatians thought about circumcision being a mark of a true Christian. And Paul says no. And he says, boast only of the cross of Jesus Christ. Our identity is not determined by whether we are circumcised or uncircumcised. What counts is the new creation. That's what Paul says. I'm going to close up. And worship team can join us. You know, church, in church history, there was a time when rules and regulations had crept into the gospel. And it was so entrenched. And it was actually through this book, this letter, Galatians, that a young priest studying the Word of God felt a stirring in his heart. And as he read through Galatians, this book actually changed the course of history. Not just because it was in the Bible, but almost a second time, when Martin Luther wrote his thesis on grace. He was inspired very much by the teachings of Galatians. And he gave up everything to pursue the grace, the message of grace. And he nailed this thesis onto a church wall, a church door. And today, as a church, we continue that. We continue the grace and that message of grace and freedom from Jesus Christ. And God knew that it wouldn't be easy. So he gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, grace beats legalism any day. Any day. But you know, maybe it's a bit too early on a Sunday morning to talk about church history. So I'm going to try and summarize Galatians with this story, okay? In Greek mythology, there are these characters called the Sirens. You guys know Greek mythology, you've read it. Maybe you read it or watched something on telly about it before. But this is not biblical, okay? These are just stories made up in Greek history, okay? But it's a really interesting story. They've got these characters called Sirens, okay? And they're like supposed to be dangerous monsters that can actually take on forms. And they sometimes take on the form of a beautiful woman. And they would stand around this island called Serenius. And what they do is they will sing these beautiful songs. And sailors would sail past. And they will hear this song. And the song is so captivating, so enchanting, that they can't help themselves, but they sail straight into the rocks. And these sirens, their sole purpose was to kill the sailors. And in Greek mythology, there are two characters that actually made it through. You guys know these two characters? The first one was Odysseus. And he made it through. Odysseus made it through the hard way. Okay? He got his sailors to put beeswax in their ears so they couldn't hear anything. And he wanted to hear the song. So he tied himself to the mast. And then they would sail. They had to pass this island to go home. They were on a big journey, a long, long journey. And Odysseus had to pass this island. He knew he was going to sink because of these sirens. If he didn't close the ears of his sailors, tie himself to the mast, and as he heard this beautiful song, he was enchanted and captured, and he couldn't help himself. He had to get to the sirens. But because he was tied up, he couldn't. And he was thrashing, and he was screaming, and he was shouting. He was having a pretty rough ride, okay? Let's call it a rough ride. Now, there was another guy who got through. Jason and the Argonauts. Do you guys know Jason? What Jason did was very different. Him and his Argonauts, in their boat, had to pass the island as well, and they were on their journey as well, this big journey. But the way they got through was they had Orpheus. Orpheus was this very talented musician on their boat. And he, as they got closer to the island, Orpheus started playing his harp. Now, Orpheus played louder and more captivating and more enchanting than the songs of the sirens. And the sailors and Jason were tuned in to Orpheus so much that they could not hear the sirens. So this is, again, not from your Bible, but the story is very interesting because it's almost like us, you know, we're on this journey through life and we're on our ship and we're going through this journey, this big long journey, and the sirens are, it's like the call of sin, you know. Sometimes we just can't help it. You know you don't want to do it. You know it's wrong. You feel bad after, but you're going to do it anyway. You can't help yourself. And this siren is going to draw you to the rocks. It's going to kill you. And how are we going to get through life? Do we want to go through maybe like legalistically and have lots of rules and tie ourselves down like Odysseus? Or do we get through life tuned in to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because God has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And if we're tuned into the Holy Spirit, a voice that is louder and more enchanting and more pure and more loving, and then we can drown out the voice of sin in our lives, isn't that a better way to get through life? I think that really sums up life and maybe Galatians a little bit about laws and about grace and about freedom. I'm just going to close up here and just pray. We'll pass the time to our pastor, and we're going to do our communion. Lord, I thank you for the book of Galatians, this message of freedom, this message of grace. Lord, I thank you that you've given us Jesus Christ on the cross so that we can have this freedom in Christ. And Lord, I thank you for your Spirit that lives within each one of us. Help us to hear the voice of your Spirit every day, so clearly, so much louder, so much stronger, so much more pure, so much more loving, and so much better than this world, that we will not look to the left or to the right, but we will look straight to you, Jesus. I bless our church. We thank you for this morning, and again, everyone that was dedicated, and we just pray that you prepare our hearts now to receive the bread and the wine. Amen.